the good Spirit of God. I appreciate it. Brother Wesley, appreciate you obeying the Lord.
Yes, yes.
And I appreciate old time singing. I said that this morning.
Amen.
I've had some thoughts on that. You know, when a church begins to abandon the kind of singing that we do out of the red book, this blue book.
Yes.
When they do that, they're well on their way to going modern.
Amen. Yep.
Amen. Leaving the principles of old time religion.
Yes.
That's why I enjoy going to old time churches where they, if they sing right, chances are the preaching's right.
Amen.
And if the preaching's right, then chances are the worship's right.
Yes.
And that's where I want to hang my hat.
I do too, brother.
Amen. I'm glad to be numbered among you tonight. It's blessed to see you. I appreciate everything Brother Wesley said a while ago. And thinking along those lines, it sure does make sense that God would use the union of marriage to give us a portrait of His relationship with mankind. And He give us that early in the Scripture.
Yes.
Early in the creation, God established and ordained the family even before He did the church.
Amen.
You imagine a church without a family? Think on that for a moment. So it would be family first and then church would be the order that these things came to us. And in doing so, God was able to illustrate to us His love and His union with fallen man.
Yes. Right.
See, God, the Bible said God loved us with an everlasting love.
Yeah.
That means way back.
Yes. Right.
Way back before there was man, God had love and compassion for mankind.
Yes.
It was in the foreordained plan of God that He have a plan of redemption for fallen man.
Come on.
And we see that in the wedding ceremony.
Yes.
And even in the New Testament, the Bible makes reference to that union of man and woman. For this cause, the Bible said, shall a man leave his mother and father, cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh.
Amen.
Now, you're talking about things you don't understand. I don't understand that either.
No.
I don't know how God can do that.
No.
But God does that.
Yes, He does.
And what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder.
Yes.
And so God gives us a perfect illustration of His love and His compassion and the union between God and man. Now the Bible said we've been made one with Christ.
Yes.
And so in the union of marriage, you're made one with your bride.
Yes.
And the bride's made one with the groom.
Yes.
And so it is in the relationship between God and man. And salvation, the Lord then brings us together and unifies us with Christ, and we become one with Him.
Yes.
Amen. And Jesus said, I and my Father are one.
Amen.
Then He went on to say that we are made one with Him.
Yes.
And so in order for me to be separated from God, God would have to separate Jesus from His sight.
That's right.
And so there's more reasons tonight to believe in eternal security than just being a Baptist.
Amen.
The Bible believes in it.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. So you don't have to be a Baptist to know it. Amen. It just turns out that Baptists believe it.
Yes.
But we believe, we're supposed to believe the whole counsel of God, the whole counsel of the Word of God.
Yes.
Aren't we? Amen. So I appreciate you giving us the portrait of that picture tonight of the union of marriage and what it means. I'm glad I've been made one with the Lord. How about you?
Amen.
I'm glad of that tonight.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm so close related to the Lord that He called me a child.
Yeah.
And you can't get any closer related than that.
Right.
Amen. So I'm glad I'm that related to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing to be saved and to know that you're saved.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad you know it. So anything better than being saved is absolutely knowing that you're saved.
Yeah.
Amen. Then anything better than that is when you find out how long you're saved.
Amen.
Boy, it just keeps getting better, don't it?
Yeah.
Amen. So I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved forever. Thank God. And I'm glad I know it. I've had some young people ask me before about marriage, and I've talked to them, pre-wedding. Most time the pastor will talk to the couple that's wanting to get married, and I've talked to them, and I make sure, all the standard things are covered, make sure I'm not joining together a couple that shouldn't be together.
Right.
And take care of that business up front. And through the years, I've been asked some questions about that, and I promise you, I'd much rather do somebody's funeral than marry them.
Amen.
You seem to have a little more liberty in a funeral service than you do in a wedding, and that's the reason I would prefer that. But I had youngins ask me before, say, how do you know that you married to the right one? And I said, well, I tell you what, when you wake up in the morning and you roll over and you see her, that's the one.
Yes.
Amen. Now, it may not have been everything you expected it to be.
Come on, brother.
But when you roll over and see her, that's her.
That's amen.
Amen.
Yes.
That's her. So don't go looking for anybody else.
Right.
Amen. That's the one. So a lot of times we, think we're marrying into bliss, and you find out that life going to be a whole lot different than bliss.
Right.
Amen. Now, your story is quite a lot mine and Kim. She was a child, and I was too, and still trying to figure our way through life.
Yes.
A lot of things I don't understand, a lot of things I don't know, a lot of things I've been a failure at. And I'll be the first to admit that and confess to you that I've been a failure in many ways. But I do know this. If you marry the Lord, marry the right one, as he said, you got a real good chance to have her 25 years down the road.
Yeah.
Amen. So I thank God this evening for what he's done for me. And I appreciate the fact that when you establish relationships in the church, those tend to be lifelong.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So I would highly recommend that for anybody. It's good to be with you tonight. It's good to have Jordan and Mick here with us tonight, and they brought that beautiful baby with them.
Amen.
That young, and I'm glad to see them. Now, Jordan was one of the young preachers at Hall Grove. Now it's just called Preach, and that big conglomeration of young men that started preaching out there while I was their pastor. And I appreciate him, and I appreciate all those young men.
Sure.
I'm sure grateful that God still calls men to preach.
Amen.
And it lets me know there's still a reason, there's still a cause and a need for it. And I appreciate them, and I asked him a while ago what he was doing fifth Sunday morning. He's going to come back here and preach to us on fifth Sunday morning.
Amen.
So I want you to pray for him.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to that. And you get a chance, go around and love on that young, and she's a grinning as baby I've ever seen. She'll just grin. And I like that. Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I'd like to have an attitude like that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Just grin about everything. Let's look at Matthew 27 real quick, and I'm going to finish something I've started about the survey of the cross, and I've done started that with y'all. And I got a real heavy burden. God's been pressing me about these verses and what I've been led to see. In a survey of Calvary, in a survey of the cross, and I talked to you about what I knew about, which is very little about the actual process of doing a survey. I do know they use a transit to shoot lines, and these lines are true lines, and that's the only thing that's accepted legally is a survey by a certified surveyor, and they'll use that for deed work, and that'll be established at the courthouse, and all these things are to set parameters and boundaries and for us to know that there's definitive lines, you see. The Bible gives us, I believe in the book of Proverbs, it teaches us to remove not the old landmark.
Amen.
You know, some of the old timers, they'd drive up old stobs in the ground, iron stob, metal stob, something that could be detected by a metal detector.
Yeah.
Things like that in order to establish lines. And you've all heard of these things, maybe even experienced it yourself, where things get over on other people's landlines, maybe a fence, maybe a row of trees, something that causes a problem.
Yeah.
Causes a dispute. Now, when it comes to these lines, what that does is mark off property, and that defines what legally belongs to somebody.
Right.
Amen. And so in taking a survey of the cross, we see here, when we look at these borders and these boundaries, these lines, we see the capacity of what God established at Calvary and what took place there for you and I within those boundaries. And I'm glad we can look at it that way. You see, there's a lot of things about the cross and the mystery of the gospel and things that you and I just don't understand. And it's quite possible that in this mortal body that we couldn't attain the wisdom or the intellect to ever figure those things out. And it's possible also that it's purposed that way from God. There's just things that are mysterious to us that we may never know. The Apostle Paul was caught up in the third heaven, the Bible said. And when he returned from that experience, he said that he experienced and saw things that were unlawful for him to utter. And so there's just things that are hidden tonight, and they're mysterious. So I don't believe they're necessarily hidden from us. I believe they're hidden for us. Amen. In other words, one day those things will be revealed unto us. And we'll know those things for exactly what they are. And so if there be any mystery of the cross of Calvary tonight, it would be the doctrine or the theology tonight of what it accomplished on the God side. And we see tonight that Calvary first was intended to satisfy the wrath of a righteous and a holy God. And I told you the last time I got on this, you better be thankful tonight that God is satisfied with the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. I certainly am rejoicing in that tonight, because if it depends on me to offer some sacrifice or to give some price before my salvation, then I myself am lost, world without end. I have no hope. And I'm afraid tonight that same sentence abides upon you if it all depends on you offering something to God. For the Bible teaches us that the law was perfect. The law was without spot. The law was perfect because the giver of the law is perfect. Amen. And so the law was weak through the flesh, the Bible said. The law itself could accomplish salvation only to those that could keep the law. That's why Jesus was able to ascend back to the Father. In other words, tonight, Jesus Christ is the only man, true man, that ever earned his way to God.
Amen.
Amen. He earned the right to be seated at the right hand of God. In other words, he kept the law perfectly. He came and lived under his own law. Amen. Abided by his own law.
Amen.
Kept his own law. Was cursed under his own law to deliver us from the curse of the law. And now he's ascended to the Father to be seated at the right hand of God. And God declared from the heavens at the Mount of Transfiguration and also at the cross of Calvary, "This is my Son." Amen. And at his baptism, the Bible said the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove and lit upon him. And this signified God's approval. And a voice came from heaven as it thundered and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Amen. And so, Brother Jordan, I'm glad God is satisfied. I'm glad he's pleased in the work of the cross. I'm glad God accepted the cross of Calvary as payment for my sin. And the debt no longer hangs above my head. I no longer have pending judgment over my soul. I've been delivered from the wrath of God and from the judgment of God. Somebody said, "Oh, wait just a minute. You'll have to stand in line one day and answer for every deed you've done in the body." Sister, I'm doing that right now.
Amen.
That's the judgment seat of Christ. And he is presently on the judgment seat. My friend, he's the head of the church. And the Bible said judgment must first begin at the house of God. Amen. And so the night God convicted me, he also condemned me in my sin. And judged me unworthy. And judged me a sinner. And friend, I agreed with God that night, Brother Jordan. I believed in the finished work of the cross. I didn't know how to pray, but it didn't matter. The Bible said, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness." And my heart believed. And the transaction was done. I've been saved from that day forward every day. And the next time you see me, I'll be just as saved.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And the further I go in this, the deeper it gets, but the sweeter it gets. Amen. So you better be glad God's satisfied.
Amen.
And I sure am glad he did. Matthew 27, verse 33, the Bible said, "And when they were come to a place called Golgotha," that is to say a place of the skull, a place of a skull, They gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head this, his accusation written, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Now, I chose these verses tonight because it gives us a small glimpse into a place called Golgotha, a place of the skull. Amen. It was a foreordained cross. I want you to understand tonight that the cross of Jesus Christ was not a random cross.
Amen.
It wasn't a cross of coincidence. It wasn't a cross of chance. It was a foreordained cross.
Yeah.
He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. The Bible said his face fixed as a flint. I believe every step he took toward Calvary's hill. Amen. I believe his all only intention was to come into this world and die for sinners. That was his cause. That was his purpose. The Apostle Paul said, this is a worthy saying. He said that Christ Jesus came in the world how to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Yeah.
The purpose of Jesus Christ in this world was to seek and to save that which was lost.
Yeah.
Amen. And so the cross was always in his future. Amen. And every step he took was one step closer to Calvary and a place called Golgotha. And there, the Bible said they crucified him and parted his garments, and they cast lots, my friend, upon among themselves. And the Bible did fulfill its prophecy when it said, "Upon my vesture did they cast lots."
Yeah.
Amen. And so we see there that how men despised and rejected him. They turned their back on him. Amen. They didn't want Jesus then. They don't want him today.
Yeah.
They refused him then. They're refusing him now.
Yeah.
They're saying no to Jesus and yes to the world.
Amen.
But one day God will avenge the blood of the saints of God. Amen. And that same cross that Jesus was crucified on, my friend, and through that victory, that same power, my friend, will bring victory to a blood-bought, blood-washed remnant that's ready to meet God in the clouds.
Amen.
I'm glad of the victory that's found at the cross.
Yeah.
Amen. And that victory is going to be delivered to us in its fullness.
Amen.
When God comes, the Bible said the Lord's coming, he's coming with his reward with him.
Yes.
What is that reward? Well, I believe it's the same body.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Right now, you don't have one of those.
No.
You're in a body that's cursed by sin. We talked about temptation in Sunday school this morning. I told our class back there, Brother Jordan, we can talk about the most vilest thing you could think of. And there's some horrendous, wicked, evil things happening in our world today.
Yeah.
You say, "Preacher, it can't get any worse." You probably said that 25 years ago, and it did. I'm telling you, it can get worse, and it will.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. But I brought up child molesters, men that rape and abuse women.
Yes.
Amen. These pedophiles and perverts that we have today, homosexuals and transgenders, all this wickedness, all this abomination going on in the world today. And I told our Sunday school class, everyone in this room under the sound of my voice right now is as capable of doing those exact things that tonight when left to yourself, when you turn yourself over and you get cold and indifferent toward God, when you walk away from God in the church, my friend, you lose your affection and you fall out of love with Jesus. You're just as capable of doing those things. You don't have a saint body right now. His flesh is wicked.
Yes.
It's separated from God. It cannot inherit the things of God.
Amen.
And no provision has been made for the flesh. When Jesus saves, he saves the soul of man.
Amen.
And that is the seed that John spoke of that remaineth in us.
Yes.
I'm glad I'm saved eternally tonight on the inside. And when he brings that gift with him, he's going to bring me a saved body to go with my saved soul. Hallelujah. And there won't be anything wrong with me when you see me up there. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I believe I'll have a full head of hair when I get there. Amen. Won't be any need for vitamins and medication.
No.
That's right.
Amen.
All the psychologists will be out of business.
That's right.
Won't need no brains being worked on up there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Won't be no ID channel to watch crime shows.
That's right.
Won't be any crime.
That's right.
Amen. All's going to be, I believe the weather will be just right. What do you
Amen.
Think?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Brewster, sausage is as fine as wine. Brother, I'm going to tell you, it's like eating candy. I made 5 patties last night, a little extra big, and I ate every one of them. And if you want to see old preacher get selfish, amen, come over. Amen. When I'm cooking that Brother Brewster's pork, and you'll find out how selfish I can be. Yeah. Amen. But I want you to know something tonight. There ain't a thing on this side of eternity that can compare. Amen. What God has in store for His children. Amen. I have not seen, ears not heard, what He has in store for us. Yet they've been revealed unto us by the Spirit. That's why I can talk about it tonight and know that it's so, because the Spirit has revealed it unto me. Hallelujah. And I may not understand it, but I know it's so tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad of a cross that afforded us all these privileges.
Amen.
That afforded me, amen, the fellowship I have with God tonight. Praise the Lord. God looks after His own.
Yes.
Amen. He don't push you out on the side of the road and tell you good luck.
No.
Like a lot of us do, people.
Amen.
God don't do that to His own.
He does not.
Amen. He loves His little children.
Yes, He does.
He takes care of His children. Yes. Amen. He's in the business of doing good things for His people. Praise the Lord. So, the Bible said, sitting down, they watched Him there. Now, Brother Jimmy, there's a crowd gathered that day to view Him at Calvary.
Yes, they did.
I spoke of this morning at the radio station. There were many there that day at Calvary.
Yeah.
They were witnesses, eyewitnesses to the death of the Son of God. One even professed, surely this was the Son of God, a Roman soldier. With all that was taking place that day, something had convinced that man this wasn't no ordinary man hanging on this tree.
Right.
And I want you to know, it wasn't necessarily the style of execution that made the difference. And I've expressed that to you before. There were many crosses before and many after.
Yes.
It was a common form of execution by the Roman government at that time.
Yeah.
They were even 2 thieves that were crucified with Him that day.
Right.
So it was very common. So it wasn't necessarily the cross itself that made the difference, but it was who was hanging on that cross that made the difference.
Yes.
It was God in the flesh. God Himself wrapped up in a robe of flesh to take my place and endure the punishment that I should have suffered and to pay a price that I could not pay. Amen. And He suffered for 3 hours the wrath of God on the cross. Amen. And took that for 3 hours. Amen. And gave up the ghost. He willingly done that. No man takes my life from me, He said, but I lay it down and I have the power to bring it up again. Hallelujah. Unto God this evening, bless His holy name. Thank God He was God. Hallelujah. He is God.
Yes.
He was God.
Yes.
And when He comes back, He'll be God.
Hallelujah. Yes.
He was God on that tree, giving Himself for fallen man. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it.
No.
But I've got every right to raise my voice in praise and rejoice in the hope of glory tonight because of what He did.
Yes.
I go free this evening.
Yes.
Amen.
God bless you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't get upset with me for getting excited.
Amen.
Amen. You get you a good glimpse of the cross, you'll get excited.
Yes.
Amen. That's what's void from a lot of Christians' life is they've never surveyed the cross.
Yeah.
Right.
They've never looked at it for what it truly accomplished, for what it truly means to us. It's more than an emblem around your neck. It's more than a tattoo on your body. It's more than a bumper sticker on your car.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm certainly glad tonight that I took my place at Calvary one day.
Yes.
Amen. And many, many witnessed his death. But I believe many of that same crowd died in their sins.
Amen.
Getting to the cross is not always the issue. You see, many, we've been able to get to the cross. And we drop them off there, and that's as far as you and I can carry them.
Right.
We get them to the cross, and we just have to drop them off.
Yeah.
And I don't have the strength. I don't have the power this evening. I don't even, my friend, have the knowledge to know the right words to say to break through to somebody's heart and get them to see what they are by nature.
Right.
And so all I can do is get them to the one that can.
Right.
And I drop them off at Calvary.
Amen.
And friend, you can die in your sins and wind up in hell right at the foot of the cross.
Amen.
I want you to see something tonight. Judas kissed the very face of salvation.
Yes,
and he died in his sin. I'm not arguing with you. People want to try to get him saved.
No.
That man was not saved.
Amen.
He was a devil from the beginning.
Yes.
And he kissed the very face of
Amen.
God and burst hell wide open.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He communed
yes.
the Lamb of God.
Sure did.
And wound up in hell.
Yeah.
The only thing that'll get you truly saved tonight is to get through the cross.
Amen.
Get to the other side.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's what happened the night I got saved.
Yeah.
Oh, my life for 13 years, I was brought to this church. You could basically say I was dropped off at Calvary.
Yeah.
Glad I had a mom and dad to drop me off at the cross.
Yeah.
Ain't you?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. They dropped me there.
Yes.
And people prayed, said, now God, if you get saved, you're going to have to do something with him. Amen.
Right.
And that's the way it is my kids and yours. I love you tonight. If I could talk you into getting saved, I'd start talking.
Yes.
Amen. If I could pay your way into getting saved, I'd start paying.
Amen.
I'd do whatever it took. But I realize tonight every effort I make would fall short of getting you saved.
Right.
Yeah. And so all I can do is drop you off at the cross and then pray, God, you're going to have to do something in them.
Yes.
Amen. And they'll testify when God does something in them.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
They will.
They will. They'll do it.
I'm going to tell you, the cross is an amazing, portrait of God's love.
Yeah.
So one thing we see, I talked to you about sin at its worst, judgment at its fullest. And I believe we see love at its best.
Right.
When we see him hanging there.
Yes.
The Bible said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Amen.
Amen. That's the ultimate price, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Right.
Many soldiers have done that down through the years to afford us the liberty we enjoy tonight. In this republic, I don't call it a democracy anymore because it really wasn't set up to be one. It was set up to be a republic.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. And we enjoy a lot of liberties tonight. A lot of people say you have a right to do this and a right to do that. All you really have a God-given right to do is repent, believe.
Amen.
Now, you've got the liberty to be a fool if you want to be one.
Yeah.
You've got the liberty in America to be a pervert if you want to be one of those.
Amen.
And there's a lot of them. You know a lot of our politicians qualify for that.
Amen.
Amen. And anybody that sympathizes with this godless stuff that they're pushing in politics today, I'm telling you, they may not be participating in it, and neither did Lot. When he went down to Sodom, he sat at the gate.
Yeah.
And the Bible never did say he took part in what they were doing. But he vexed his righteous soul from day to day in seeing and in hearing their unlawful deeds.
Yes.
Now I want to tell you, if you run with the dogs and you bark like a dog and you smell like a dog, you're probably a dog. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible said the dog returned to its own vomit and the pig to the wallowing in the mire.
Yeah.
I want you to understand something tonight. It ain't everything that goes to church and claims Christianity is truly being through the cross. Amen.
Amen.
Three quarters of that crowd claims to be Christians.
Yes, they do.
Amen. If you say, I'm not against sinners in the respect that I want them all to die lost.
No.
I want them all to get saved.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
But we're against the evil and the sin.
Amen.
That's what we're against tonight. And you realize that the cross took care of the sin problem?
Mm-hmm.
It did. You know, man is right now presently trying to fix a sin problem in humanity.
Yes, they are.
That's what they're trying to do with medication, with psychology, with education, and with political moves and political power. They're trying to fix the sin of man. What can we do about our jails? They keep crying. They're overcrowded. We don't have enough jails. And so they'll come up with all these little plans of rehabilitation.
Right.
And they'll try to straighten out their brain. Amen. And then they'll try to medicate some.
Oh, Brother Justin.
They'll take every effort that they can.
Yes, they will.
Try to fix the sin problem. When all they've done is put a Band-Aid on a fatal wound that's going to kill them and end them up in hell. I want you to know something tonight. Hey, man, want to clean up the honky-tonks, the bar rooms.
Come on.
Hey, man, the jailhouse. All those things, it'll make an alcoholic quit drinking and love his wife and family.
Amen.
It'll make a dope head dry out.
Yes.
Amen. And fall in love with the church. It sure will.
Yeah.
Amen. It'll make a man that's selfish get humble and start loving God and loving people. Amen. It'll make a tightwad come off his wallet and give to needy cause.
Yes.
Amen. I want you to know salvation will fix people.
Amen.
The cross will fix people.
Yes.
Amen. I got a lot of health problems. I do. I probably got some mental issues. If you hang out with me long enough, you probably think I qualify for a padded room. Sometimes I feel like that's exactly where I'm headed. But it comes with age, I guess, the breakdown of this body.
Yeah.
But it amazes me at how sick people get at 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
Right.
After they run around all weekend long. About 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock Saturday afternoon, they're just so sick they can't go to church.
Amen. Come on, Brother Justin.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something. If they really get right with God and fall in love with God, they'll come to church even when they're sick.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. They sure will. They'll come. Hey, man, you're not going to bother me. Don't worry about giving it to me. I mean, we've got 58 rows back here. Ain't nobody sitting on.
Right.
You can lay down on one of them back there.
Yeah.
It'll be all right.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I mean, I know people in the Bible, a woman, the issue of blood's been on her head. She's about to die, fixing to die. Death was on her trail. Days were numbered. Hey, man, instead of wandering in the mother grubs, hanging out the house, telling everybody how sick she was, she pressed through the crowd, done what it took to get to Jesus.
Amen.
And I believe if we really want him tonight, we can have him, but we're going to have to do what it takes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love at its greatest, we see at the cross. What a survey.
Yeah.
What a survey when we see his love. No greater love than this. What a portrait of God's love. He allowed this to happen.
Yes.
Amen. God had to allow it to happen.
Yeah.
Some want to give the devil the credit for Calvary. The devil had nothing to do with Calvary.
Right.
This was God's plan.
Yeah.
Amen. It was his cross. Jesus, the Bible talks about it being his cross.
Yes.
The devil didn't give him, nail him to that tree.
No.
The devil had nothing to do with Calvary. Don't you give him that much credit.
Amen.
Amen. This was all God doing this. And God allowed it to happen.
Yes.
Amen. Then turned his back in heaven while Jesus died alone on the cross.
Amen.
That's right.
Jesus didn't even look. Our God didn't even look while it took place.
Right.
It took me years to truly understand that God never even looked. Turned his back.
Yes.
That's how horrific the scene was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jesus became our sin, and of course God cannot have any fellowship with sin.
Amen.
And so he turned his back on his only son because he became sin for us.
Yes, he did.
And then suffered the wrath of God, love at its best. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us.
Yes.
And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Amen.
We perceive the love of God tonight. We can only perceive it because he laid down his life for us.
Yeah.
And that's how we know that God loves us tonight, because of the cross.
Amen.
So I don't think we could sing 305 enough in this building and ever wear it out.
Amen.
The old rugged cross. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Thank God. I'm glad for the cross.
Amen.
And it's sometimes it's a heavy load, Brother Max, to carry that cross. Can you only imagine the weight of his cross the day that he had to carry it down that lonely street, though there were many there to mock him, many voices being raised in opposition to him. He walked that street alone.
Yes.
Carrying the burden of the world. It wasn't just two sticks of wood, but it was the burden of all sin upon him.
Amen.
And his heart was broken.
Yes, it
was. He cried with a loud voice, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." The Bible even talked about the Jews. It was talking about the Jews. Said if they'd have known who he was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know who he was. Had him there all that time and didn't know who he was.
Amen.
They could look at him and say, "Isn't this the carpenter's boy?"
Yeah. Come on, brother.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he must have been ordinary looking. Even in the garden, Judas had to kiss him to give away his identity. He must have looked like everybody else. Nothing about him stood out.
Amen.
So he had to kiss him on the cheek to give away his identity.
Yes.
And the Lord told him, he said, "Wasn't I with you daily in the temple?"
Come on.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And then brought before Pilate. It was every bit of it was phony. He was falsely accused that day. It was a mock trial.
Yes.
They had him there for their intent and their motive and their purpose, and they were going to kill him. Amen. They were going to kill him. And Jesus said they were going to. He became his own prophet.
Yes.
And he prophesied to his own disciples.
Yeah.
He said, "The Son of Man must suffer at the hands of sinners."
Amen.
And he did.
Yes, he did.
And Pilate looked at him. He said, "Are you the Son of God?" And Jesus said, "Thou sayest."
Yeah.
In other words, the only way this won't work, you know, Jesus never has pushed this on anybody.
Amen.
The night you got saved at 6 years old, Jesus didn't hold you down and drive
that in. No, he did not.
It was presented to you.
Yes.
Just like it was presented to Pilate.
Right.
There he stood before him. And Pilate wanted to know, "Are you the Son of God?"
Yeah.
And Jesus is basically looking at him and saying, "What do you think?"
Yes.
"What do you say?" That's why he said to his own disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus don't need to be convinced.
Amen.
He knows who he is.
Right.
God don't need any persuasion. But men need to be persuaded.
Amen.
Amen. There was a man almost persuaded in the Bible.
Yeah.
He got to the cross, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
The Apostle Paul carried him all the way to Calvary and dropped him off. He said, "I know you believe the prophets. I know you do. You've got conviction about what they said.
Yeah.
You've read what they said. And you believe the prophets." Said, "Paul, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian."
Right.
Paul said, Paul didn't try to make you believe.
No.
He didn't dangle bells and whistles in front of him. He didn't offer him donuts and cupcakes. But he did look at him and he said, "I would that you were almost it all together, even as I am, yet without these bars."
Amen.
Listen to me, friend. The only way this generation will be saved is if God does something in their heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all don't have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. We've got a great church here.
Yes, we do.
Many people have been saved because Antioch existed, I believe.
Amen.
Or it was at least a part of it. It was an element of their salvation. I believe that. I didn't get saved in this building, but I promise you Antioch had just about everything to do with it. Amen. So I did. I was raised in this church. Got saved through the preaching of this church. Got married to my wife. Yeah. Standing right here in the same place you stood with yours. 99, you ordained me and sent me out to pastor church. And then about 3 years ago now, you voted me in to come back. And thank God you let me come back.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad to be home tonight. And I hope God lets me die right here. And it might be a day or two from now. I'd be all right. And I'm like you. I've done charged my family.
Yes.
Boys, if she loses her mind, I want to be down here,
right.
Okay? Amen. Listen, don't carry me down there to some jack in a box. You bring me back down to the church where
I'm
all started. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's where I want it to end up. Amen. You say your farewells and goodbye, but turn no man of God loose. Amen. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel tonight. Thank God for a preacher. Amen. That preached the cross.
Yes.
Amen. The bruised and battered body of the Lamb of God. He preached it to me. And one day the Spirit of God made it alive in my heart. And I stand before you tonight 100% redeemed. Redeemed by love divine.
Yes.
Amen. And there ain't a thing the devil can do about it. And I'm like
that's
you,
right.
Bob Bruce. I couldn't even get lost if I wanted to.
Right.
Amen.
Good news is I don't want to.
Amen.
I'd want to be saved, Jordan, if there wasn't a heaven.
Amen.
I would.
Yes.
Ain't no better way to live.
Right.
You talk about people going crazy. Sometimes I go crazy in my mind. I do. I don't let y'all know about it. But I just absolutely go nuts in my mind.
Yeah.
Brother Larry Smith one time called me, good preacher man, Brother Jordan members, Brother Larry. Some of you went to hear Brother Larry preach over at Pleasant Hill during revival, y'all. Brother Larry Smith is a friend of mine. We buried him now. He's gone on to be with the Lord. I miss him. I miss our talks. I miss some of the wisdom that he had. He looked at me one day and he said, Brother Justin, he said, I think I've lost my preacher mind. And I said, you got a mind that's different. You got more than one mind. I mean, that's the first thing that popped in my head. You got a regular mind and a preacher mind. He pretty much put it out that way. He said, yeah, you know, there's just old me, just old Larry, and then there's that preacher Larry.
Yeah.
He said, and I think I've just about that preacher's mind. I said, I think I've just about lost it. He said, I've been preaching, it seemed like, for 100 years. He said, and I go back to church. He said, it just seemed like I don't know anything. He said, I'll study all week long. Now get in the pulpit and don't know anything. And he'd been preaching for years, one of my hero preachers. And I thought, Lord God, if he's struggling, I ain't got a whole lot to look forward to. And I'm going to tell you sometimes, you preachers know, hey, a lot of the traveling's uphill, fellas.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's uphill.
Yes.
You know what the biggest thing is about preaching? Some of you that ain't preachers, listen to me. You know what the biggest thing is? The hurdles and the struggles before I get here on Sunday morning, these other preachers have to preach. The biggest hurdle is ourselves.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
Getting this out of the way.
Amen.
Yes.
Boy, I'm going to tell you what. You talking about some good preaching. I ain't like to hear my own when I get myself out.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's when real preaching happens, is when we get ourselves out of the way. I told you what my daddy said about it. He wasn't a preacher. He said, I wouldn't want nothing to do with that, son. He said, those first 5 minutes y'all were up there, he said, that looked painful. Trying to get started. He said, but after the Spirit gets on scene, y'all get to going. He said, I get to thinking I can do it.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, y'all get to preaching, it gets to feeling so good, I want to try.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm telling you, that's the way the Spirit of God is.
Right.
And I want you to know something about your greatest struggle in life. It's not going to be some heretic down the road, some God. And that Bible said, fret not yourself because of evildoers. In other words, don't get down and out, frustrated, lose your mind over the wickedness of the world. They're lost. Sinners sin because they're sinners. That's what they do. Hey, man, it's their nature. The world does that. The Bible tells you don't fret yourself over that. But if you'll trust God and mortify the deeds of this body, He'll let you enjoy salvation and give you some liberty in the Spirit. And when that shout comes, you'll appreciate it when it does come.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. And I'm like Brother Larry. Sometimes I lose my mind. I just don't let people know about it.
Right.
And I mean, I nearly go crazy. But I'm going to tell you something. Go back to what I said. I'd rather be saved even if I didn't believe there was a heaven.
Right. Yeah.
Salvation affords me this.
Yes.
It affords me peace of mind.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I know that.
And I'm going to tell you something. Even with the help of God and a prayer place and the Word of God that I believe and trust tonight, even with all these valuable resources at our disposal that God has given us, Amen. Even on sometimes our best day, we just fall short, don't we?
Amen.
We just stumble, we fall short, trying to do the best that we can.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, those wheels, my mind will get to turning, I'll get thinking about things, and things will get crazy up there. Next thing you know, I've just about gone loopy, and I get to thinking I probably need to be in that padded room. But I want you to know something. When I think of the cross, when I meditate on Calvary, it affords me peace of mind.
Yes.
And I can lay down my head in peace. And I can trust the work of that cross. And even if I do go nuts one day, Miss Beth, one day you may have me as a patient over there at the nursing home. And I may have lost my mind. I may be slobbering at the mouth. Don't even know my name. Aren't you glad the cross settled everything for
me? Amen.
Yep.
That I don't have to keep my sanity in order to keep this going.
Amen.
God has got it all fixed. The cross did that for you. I want you to take a survey of it. You also see forgiveness at its freest. Right there at the cross. And that's when forgiveness was afforded to all mankind, right there at Calvary. It's full pardon is what it is.
Yes, it is.
It's a full pardon. Men had it on the credit up until Calvary. Their sins were carried over year after year as the high priest would go behind the veil and offer up sacrifices on the behalf of the sins of the people, even for himself.
Yes.
Amen. So it was carried over year after year, Jordan, and so they had it on credits, what they had. But the bill got paid at Calvary.
Amen.
Amen. And God didn't rubber stamp the account either.
No,
he didn't put it over in file 13.
No, he didn't.
Amen. But he washed our sins away.
Yes.
Never be remembered against us. Amen. Never to be held over my head again.
Amen.
God's not going to charge me with something in the day of God and say, what about this? What about that? The cross took care of everything.
Amen.
Took care of everything. That's how completely saved you are tonight. If you're saved. Boy, if Baptists ever get a hold of that, man, it'd be hard to keep a roof on this place. We'll have to double up on the building fund. We'll be repairing cheap rock around here, replacing pews.
Yes.
Amen. Probably light bulbs. People be jumping so high, knocking light bulbs out of this place. Amen. I believe it's something worth getting excited about, don't you? So never take the cross for granted, please. Always remember that's the reason why you have a chance.
Amen.
It's because of the cross tonight. Well, I've stood long enough. We got conference here in a minute, and we need to take care of that. But I'm glad the Lord gave me an opportunity to get this off my heart. I'm telling you, He burned a hole in my heart about this.
Yeah.
And there may be more forthcoming. I don't know. I may see something else on down the road about it. That'll be all right.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not I told Brother Sean Gullo yesterday, I talked to him on the phone for just a brief minute, and he was reminding me about their revival. And we got that announced for him this morning, and I was telling him, he was talking about having Brother Jordan and Brother Garrett come and preach for him the other night. And he had them both come. Am I telling this right? And he called it camp meeting style. And he said, the Lord put both of them on my heart. He said, so I asked both of them to come. He said, and I thought it went over real well. He said, one preached and the other preached. And that used to be more common in Baptist churches years ago. A lot of us just have never been around that very much or been exposed to that very much. And I told Brother Sean this. I said, Brother, I want to tell you something. I appreciate that, and I got a lot of respect for that. I said, never be afraid to do what God tells you to do.
Amen.
I said, even if our traditional ways go against what you're about to do, and God has told you to do this, even if our tradition says no, I said, do it anyhow.
Amen.
Do it anyhow.
Amen.
And I said, there's going to be opposition. So there's coming a day when God's going to have you do something, and there's going to be somebody that's going to say, hey, we don't do it that way around here.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to say.
Right.
And they probably won't have the guts to say it to your face. They'll go out of town and say it.
Yeah. Right?
That's what they do. And if you're not careful, the devil, you'll find out that they said that, and the devil will use that against you, and the next thing you know, you'll start harboring bitterness against somebody, and that'll get in there, and it'll start poking at you. Amen, it's swelling up in you, and the next thing you know, you got bad feelings towards somebody, and then you get to church, and you wonder why it's so cold and indifferent, and why you can't get in the service, and why you're finding fault with everything everybody's doing. I'm going to tell you why. Amen, you've let the devil rob you of your joy.
Amen,
you've listened to him long enough that he's thrown a cog in the gears, and you can't get to where God wants you to get. Quit listening to that old booger man. He's a liar. Amen. And he's going to run out here and tell things on you. But the Bible said to them that hate you and despitefully use you and falsely accuse you, the Bible said love them and forgive them.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Yes.
If we get about that business, that'd straighten up a lot of problems in church, wouldn't it?
Amen.
Amen. The moderator wouldn't have to worry about conference if we'd just do what the Bible said to do.
Amen.
That'd take care of church discipline.
Yes, it would.
Most of that can be handled between ourselves.
Yes.
If we'd just do what the Bible says. Amen. Stand your feet. Come on, give us a song, man.
387 in the blue book. 387.
I sure do appreciate this opportunity to stand up tonight and be with you. I appreciate the good help of the Lord. God's been good to us tonight. If you need the altar, please come. If you need to pray for whatever reason, you've got opportunity. You've got space to pray tonight, a place that God's afforded you to repent and get right with God. So we're going to sing now. If you need to come, you come on. Go ahead, man.